could you tell me how Animals in the Dark came together? I know when we talked last time, which was probably middle of last year, you kind of dropped some hints about it. You said it might be a little more, you know, there might be some maybe songs looking outward. You said that you might have more fuller arrangements. How long has the record been gestating, and how did it come together?
Well, I've been working on this record. Let's see, I was finished September 17th, and I guess I had started. I had started recording. Wow, that took me like a year and a half to record. And so it was probably the longest, as you say, gestation period for a record that I'd ever had. It was a unique challenge putting together the songs for this record because, as I said, it was a little more outward, although I do place my own family history, my own experiences in there as well. Just that helped me write it because I kind of can't help but write a little bit autobiographically. And so it was kind of a long process. It was, like I said, it was a challenge to write something that might make people think or think differently about the world around them, and it was definitely a hard thing. But I tried to put my own fingerprint on it, and I know I could never write as good a protest song as Bob Dylan or Boots Riley from The Coup or Chuck D. I knew I could never, you know, do it as well as some of those guys who are, I feel, sort of seasoned at it. Since this is a new writing style for me, I had to do it in my own way, and I hope it worked out. But I'm really proud of it, and I'm hoping that somebody can draw something important from it.
Why did you want to make people think about the world around them? I mean, your previous albums have been very inward, obviously, almost fully autobiographical, I think.
I guess I just started, well, you know, veils start to get lifted in your life as you get older, and certain things that you had thought might not end up being true, specifically trust in the government. And I think kind of over the past few years, people have really seen a lot of the corruption and things that have been going on. And I just realized that's been going on since the beginning of time. There's the oppressors and there's the oppressed. And it'll always be that way. And maybe that's just human nature. But I guess I just started becoming aware of these things, and just hearing, you know, reading in the newspaper about last year, Sean Bell getting shot in New York City, the Sean Bell shooting case where the cops shot this guy like 45 times and he didn't even have a gun on him. You know, they thought his cell phone was a gun, and you know, reading about the Blackwater troops over in Iraq that just act like it's the Old West and run around shooting innocent people and shooting whoever they want, and these people that operate above the law. And I think, man, is that really something that's going on? I mean, it doesn't even seem real. But there they are, you know. They had the whole, when that happened, they opened up the whole Blackwater thing. And those are just a couple of examples of a lot of people in power abusing their power. And so I thought, well, if I can kind of just, and also it's maybe even less than making people aware, it was just my way to kind of understand it for myself, because writing about things is kind of how I can wrap my mind around them. And so, you know, even if no one else gets the message that I want to put forth, or if they don't agree with it or don't like it, and you know, that's fine. It was kind of mostly just for me to understand what was going on. And, you know, I don't pretend to think that it's going to, you know, change anyone's mind, or, you know, they're just songs. So I'm not trying to make people think how I think or anything like that. I guess any kind of art is like that. You kind of draw from what you draw from it, what you want from it, whether it's a painting or a song or anything. So, yeah, I'm hoping people just do that and maybe draw something from it that helps them in their life.
You mentioned the veils being lifted. What lifted the veil for you?
Well, just becoming more aware, reading more. I mean, I've always been a voracious reader, but it was just, you know, the subject matter that I was reading. There's, you know, books on, like, the economic hitman and kind of just, you know, reading things by authors like Claire Wolfe. She's got a great book called 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution. Yeah, there's a lot of great literature out there. And my uncle is a libertarian. And I don't know if you know anything about the libertarians, but it's kind of more of a philosophy than a political party, but basically just minding your own business and being good to one another and realizing that you're the ruler of your own body and treating your fellow humans with respect. You know, it's like the basics, you know, and that's kind of what libertarianism is built on. But he kind of turned me on to some of that, and he actually ran for state representative for our district a few years ago, and so he was kind of making people aware of, you know, maybe how the drug war isn't working. Maybe it's putting people behind bars that don't deserve to be behind bars, while there's rapists and murderers that are being set free a few years after they get put in jail, and you know, the pot dealer is there 20 years later. Just, you know, okay, that seems backwards to me. I thought that's crazy. And you know how the government gives incentives programs to police stations for how many drug busts they make. You know, there's money incentives. You know, the more kids you bust with pot, or the more you know, drug dealers you bust, the more money you get. So who do you think they go after? There's no incentives programs for solving murders or catching the rapist. There's no money in that. So what do you think they do?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, just stuff like that. Like, everyone kind of knows that stuff, or maybe they don't, but you start reading about things like that, and like, okay, you know, I don't trust my government at all. Like the scandals, like the Rob Blagojevich deal. I mean, just like, oh, does it surprise anyone that this politician was crooked? Like, how does anyone think that any of them cannot get corrupt with power? And you know, it goes in degrees. Like, I think some people are worse than others, obviously. But anyway, you know, just, you kind of start discovering things like that. And I just kind of was getting angry. But again, I realized that it's been that way for all time. I mean, kings of old were like that. And in 1,000 years, it'll still be the same. So how we can counteract it is, you know, write a few songs, paint a few pictures, do a little dance, and there you go. I mean, how else do you not go crazy?
Mm-hmm. Why were these songs, why were the political ones more difficult to write than say, the older songs? You said it was challenging, that it took longer.
Well, it was just a different style, you know, different subject matter. I guess I'd grown comfortable with my subject matter, and once you discover your sort of voice that you want to work with, you kind of keep relying on those subjects. And so these were whole new words I was using and phrases and how do you convey an idea but still have it sound good in a song? And that's something I still struggle with, and I don't even know if I ever can get it down pat. But you know, there's a difference between what you want to say straight out and how you would put it in a lyric. So, you know, you kind of want to make it sound poetic, and you kind of maybe want to make it rhyme, although that's not that important. But so it's just a different set of obstacles, but that's great. That's what you need to have, especially I need a challenge as a writer. Yeah, to kind of advance past whatever I was doing. And so it was fun in that way too. And it was fun recording this record, because I recorded it with my cousin in his garage in a studio that we built ourselves. And so again, it was kind of, you know, bringing it all home, you know. And I had my friend do the painting for the cover, and you know, we kind of kept it all in the family. And so that was a fun thing about this record too, is kind of showcasing the talent of all my friends as well. You know, my cousin as a producer, and this woman that did the painting as an artist, and so that was fun too, kind of get those things in there.
Did the songs require different arrangements? In the past, you've pretty much been, it's just been you. Did some of these songs require some augmentation instrumentally, or did you just want to experiment with that?
Well, on some of my old records, I do have songs that have a band on them, and that I always thought that was kind of fun, although there's definitely less. I mean, really, there's probably only a couple on each record. But I always had fun doing that, and those were cases where I'd heard the arrangement in my head and needed to recreate it on the record, and so I had to bring my friends in to help me fill out the sound, which is fun in itself, because then it kind of might change the song a little bit and maybe take it in a direction that I hadn't imagined. So that was neat too. And so on this one, I wanted to do a little bit more of that, you know, because again, you kind of hear, or me anyway, I don't know how other people do it, but I kind of hear it in my head how it needs to be, you know, and so I come up with the chords, and I think, okay, well, it kind of needs a little bit of a drum beat right here, and it needs this organ right here. I can just hear it. So you get your friends in there that can play that stuff, and there you got your well-rounded sound. And so, yeah, so that was fun. But, again, I wouldn't want to do that all the time because that's not really what I do live. Although on this tour I am going to be bringing, on one of my upcoming tours I will be bringing a band with me, but I can't do it all the time. So I didn't want to saturate it with all these other instruments that I can't provide live, you know.
Right.
So I wanted to kind of keep it simple, but also, you know, these songs are going to be around way after I'm dead, so... You know, you just make them how they need to sound, and that's what I've learned, and maybe not even necessarily think about how it's going to sound live. Because some of these songs I can strip down to just one acoustic guitar, and it's still, I think, still hopefully a powerful song, even without all the other stuff. So it was just kind of a fun chance to try some new things, like have a cello player, you know, it's things I'd always wanted to try, and like accordion, and since my style is so basic, I kind of need... Sometimes I need things to kind of put a little paprika on the deviled egg, you know? That nice red color on there. You don't want to douse it in paprika, but a little touch on there is good.
Did you are you hearing those fuller arrangements more frequently, or was it just, or is it, has it always been, you know, every now and again the song presents itself, it needs something else?
Well, it goes back and forth. Maybe for this one it was more frequently, and maybe I got a taste of doing it and enjoyed it, and thought, well, maybe I'll try it on this too, and again, trying to remain tasteful with it, which I don't know if I achieved or not, but trying to, yeah, not overdo it, as I said. I kind of have been hearing it more frequently, and then now after that, because now that's been done for months, I've been writing for the next one already, and it will probably be way more sparse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of going back to, I guess it's probably like a wavelength, you know, you go up and down and up and down, and so now I'm back down to where I kind of just want it to be mostly just me. So it's been fun working on the next thing even.
What are you writing about now? Obviously your first three full lengths dealt a lot with your parents. What subjects are you dealing with now or writing about now?
This next one I've been working on, I'm really proud of it so far. It's in the embryonic phases, of course. But it's going to be more drawn back to the farm life. I've been gravitating more towards just bringing it all back home and writing about the farm and on Animals in the Dark. I did it a little bit, touched into a little bit of family history on a song called Hard Times, and I kind of that was interesting to me. So I'm kind of trying to write, because I don't know, my grandma's got these great stories, these family history stories, you know, and I thought, man, I ought to try to like work some of those into a song or something. And that's like part of what that Hard Times one was all about. But so yeah, working some family history in and bringing it back to the farm and you know, making some more sparse arrangements is kind of what I foresee. But then again, you know, this thing I'm working on now won't be out, well, for another year or something, so it might change in the meantime. But that's going to be kind of the basic framework of it. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. Now, is your farm pretty much a sustenance farm, or are you producing things for commerce?
Nope, we're just a subsistence thing right now. Although part of the land we rent out to some neighbors down the road that plant row crops, and the whole farm is 160 acres, which is, you know, not, it's big to me, but it's not very big for a farm. You know, those factory guys do thousands of acres, you know, and so the people we rent out are part of our ground to are just these real simple farmers. They're like one notch above the Amish. Mm-hmm. As far as their farming techniques, like they have these archaic like one row pickers, you know, and these tractors made in the 40s, and so they farm part of it, but I'm on the road so much I can't be planting row crops, you know. I'm just
right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you'd have to be one or the other. You couldn't be a farmer and a musician, and I'm a son of the soil for sure, but I knew a long time ago that I, you know, just wanted to play music.
Who takes care of the farm when you're gone?
My uncle. Yeah, my grandma actually lives on the same acreage, and so I kind of help take care of her too, and my uncle lives here, so when I'm gone, he like feeds the horses and feeds the chickens and stuff like that. You know, like I said, we just have a couple of horses. It's nothing compared to what we used to have. And they're like basically pets. And so, you know, it's not like a huge working farm. It's just, we reduced it down to basically just what was fun and what we could get by with.
How much does the, you've talked before about the difference between farm life and life on the road. How much has that informed your music? For instance, having been out on the road in recent years, does that help, you know, kind of lead to that more outward type of songwriting and performing?
Indeed. Another thing about writing the songs for Animals in the Dark was I had just done so much traveling. Like, I'd been to, they sent me over to Europe like 10 times within like 3 years, and it was great. I got to sit in bars with people in Italy and you know, clear up to Norway and everywhere in between, and just kind of talk to people, and, you know, when it was easy. I can't speak Norwegian or Italian, but we can. Some things are universal, and those guys have such a great education system over there. Almost everyone speaks a little English too, so you can kind of get by. But at least that's kind of what I saw to be true. And so talking to these folks all over and just realizing, man, we're all the same, you know. Whether I was in Slovenia or Croatia or Kilkenny, Ireland, you know, it's kind of people sitting and expressing themselves and you know, maybe griping about their own government a little bit, but also then laughing, and I just thought, oh, we're all the same. I mean, there's kind of basic human truisms that'll always remain, and so that's it. Kind of went back to the universal thing of, you know, like, the old devils are at it again. Like, that applies to anyone in power. That applies to kings of 1,000 years ago, like I said, and it'll apply 1,000 years from now. And so that's kind of where the universality came from, was doing a lot of traveling and seeing, okay, we're all in the same boat, man. But being away also makes me miss home. So then I can, you know, allows me to write about home too, because I'm, you know, it's easier to write about something when you miss it sometimes. So some of the best songs about the farm actually come when I'm on the road. And so it's beneficial all around.
You said they sent you to Europe 10 times. Who's they?
My booking agent. I've got one for over here in the States, and I've got another booking agent that does all my Europe stuff. And so when I say they, I mean them and my record label at the time, which was Southern Records. They've got an office in London, and actually an office in Berlin as well. And so they each have they want to sell records where they live, you know, so they want to have me come over and do shows, and I'm kind of obligated to. Although, you know, they didn't force me, it's, you know, nothing like that. But it's, you know, kind of a mutually understood thing that, like, we put out your record, and you travel around and promote it and play it. And I wasn't complaining. I enjoyed going over there. So,
well, we often hear about Europe being much more receptive to blues and jazz artists, but I hadn't heard it in response to something like what you do. You know, kind of more the basic roots, you know, in country vein. Are Europeans receptive to what you do?
Oh yeah. Oh man, I had some really great shows over there. And, you know, at first when I went over, I guess it was like 2003 when I went over the first time, and this was just when we had turned it on in Iraq. This is when we first had invaded, and, you know, it was hot and heavy, and I thought, oh, man, I don't, you know, do I even want to go over here? Am I going to, are people going to be really angry at me for being American? And, I should have known better. I wasn't really thinking rationally, but I was kind of thinking, like, okay, I got to try to blend in and don't look American, you know. We're not very popular right now, and et cetera. And so that was interesting. But I forgot my point. Wait, what was the question again?
We're talking about how Europeans deal with.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Music.
Yeah, forgive me. Yeah, but you know, it was not that way at all. It was people were of course they know the difference between me and George Bush. they know it's not the people, it's our governments that screw things up. The average citizen is actually pretty cool. It's people up top that screw things up. So I was received with open arms. And as far as the style of music, I don't think they'd, or at least at most of the places I went, they hadn't really heard anything like what I was doing, at least live anyway. Because no one really does that kind of thing over there. I mean, it's sort of a uniquely American style of music, and so it was pretty received with open arms. And you know, like I said, it doesn't exactly sound like anything else, but it's close enough to some stuff that people could relate to it, I think. And I try to write in a universal way that hopefully anyone anywhere could understand at least part of the sentiment of what's going on. I mean, love and loss and life and death, kind of those subjects, anyone can relate to some of those things. So I think people could, even if they couldn't exactly understand every lyrical nuance, they understood the tone of the song. It was received really well, and I was really surprised. So I consequently went back, like I said, like 9 or 10 times, and it's been fun every time.
You've mentioned before that you're not a terribly great singer. You don't feel like you play your instruments necessarily terribly well, or at least some of the instruments. And you said one time you told me that your goal was to get a little better each time. Do you feel like you're getting a little better?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot more. I've always played a lot. I mean, sitting and strumming on the guitar or the banjo just while at home. But I've been trying to increase my amount of playing time, and also trying different things as far as chords and different finger positions on the guitar and banjo. I used to not really care as much. I mean, it was just I wanted to strum out chords to get my point across, and the lyrics were always what. And they still are. The lyrics and the voice are what's most important to me, because that's kind of what I have most fun doing. Like, if I could just have a record with no instruments and just me singing, I would do that. But I don't think anyone would listen to it. I don't think they'd let me do that. So I thought, well, I better try to get better on these other things. And you know, again, the more and more songs you write, you can't keep doing the same things over and over again, or at least I don't want to. And so I thought, well, I better come up with some different chord progressions and some different picking. So I feel like I've gotten a little better. And shoot, I got so much to learn. I mean, well, we all do, but... And that's kind of the beauty of it. There's always more to learn. But I feel like I'm getting slightly better at picking and grinning.